Good evening, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Graham Jones, and thank you very much. I never get tired of that whistle. Tonight we're looking at small groups and the goodness of small groups. So before we do that, though, I really would appreciate it if you would join me in praying. So perhaps we can do that together. So Father God, I just want to thank you so much that you're a wonderful God, a God of life, a God of abundance. And Father God, I ask that you bless my words tonight to form them into your purposes. And Lord, I just pray for all of our hearts that they would be open to receive your word tonight. Like an arrow, Father God, I pray you sharpen this. In your precious name, Jesus. So as I said, tonight we're going to look at small groups, and the theme of the evening is the greenhouse effect. So that, if you just in case you weren't aware, is a greenhouse. Wouldn't be the biggest one in the world, or the best one perhaps, but it is a greenhouse. We all, well, not all of us, but a lot of us from the church went away last weekend to Tullow, to a hotel called Mount Wolseley, where we had a wonderful time, and I really thought it was brilliant, and a lot of people are saying the same thing to me. But on that weekend away, there was one line that really stood out to me from the main speaker, and it's been with me all week. And for me, when I think of this line, this phrase, it sums up exactly what we're talking about tonight and what we're trying to do here tonight. And I'll share that with you in a moment. So today, as I say, is all about small groups. And for those of you who don't know, the wider church that meets on a Sunday in the morning and the evening breaks down into smaller groups that meet during the week. More times than not, it is in somebody's home, but it doesn't have to be. And that's why the name was changed from home group to small group, to facilitate those groups meeting in anywhere outside a house. So usually they're meeting on Wednesday nights or Thursday nights, but one of them in particular meets on a Tuesday morning. So that's what we're talking about tonight. So that line, that phrase which was spoken last weekend that really struck a chord at me and landed very much and has helped me very much in my preparation for tonight was that finding Jesus is the starting line and it's not the finishing line. It was one of those moments when it was said, it just made so much sense to me. That when we find Jesus, it's the starting line of a race that we've been called into. And invariably, we often make the mistake as a wider church, the big church, that can be the finishing line. Oh, it's great. They've come to know Jesus. When really, it's the starting line. And when I think of that phrase, I often think, or I have been during the week, I've been thinking and visualizing all of these people preparing to run. And I've been seeing, as I play that out in my mind, that like some people are at the starting line. Some people are already running the race. But some people perhaps aren't even in the stadium. And for me, I get very excited when I think of that analogy of running because I come from a sporting background. And those ideas of running a race and getting really up for the race really does excite me. But at the same time, that burst of energy that I receive when we look at that can quite often fade. When I was considering that phrase during the week, I decided to look to Scripture then to see what the Bible said about race and that idea of running. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, it says that the race is not to the swift. So therefore, my qualification to run in the race does not depend on my ability. It's not dependent on me whether or not I run that race. That is decided by the grace of God. So my qualification to even partake in the race is due to the grace and the truth of our Lord and Savior. However, in 1 Corinthians, it says that when we run the race, we're to run it as if we're to win the prize. So while my ability does not allow me or does not qualify me to enter the race, once I am in the race, I'm to run it as if I'm to win the prize. And in Hebrews, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. So with that burst of energy and with that excitement that I receive when I look at those words in the Bible about running a race and being prepared for the race and being up for the race, I'm off and I'm ready to go and I have focus and I have direction. But as I say, quite often that can run out. So therefore I find myself mid-race quite often looking around, gasping for breath, looking for the coach, asking to sub me. But this idea of running out of breath, and in more church language, what that looks like is I'm in a place where I need support, I need advice, I need fellowship, and most importantly, I'm in need of prayer. So you might have a question, yeah, well, Graham, what is tonight all about? Well, I continue to answer that question by reminding you of the line that finding Jesus is the starting point, not the finishing line. We look at John chapter 1, verse 35, and we see how Jesus called out his first disciples, and we get a glimpse of their starting line. Jesus called out Andrew, John, Simon, Philip, and Nathanael. Each one of those men responded to Jesus in their own individual way. Each of them owned their relationship with Jesus and followed his call. But together as a group of men, they then experienced their relationship with Jesus together. And they were in a position in that group of five men to be able to support one another, to advise one another, and to pray for one another. That was their fellowship. We jump on then to Acts chapter 1, verse 12. And we see that same group of men has grown. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, and Judas were all present in the upper room, it says in Acts 1. So we see, and it's obvious, that that group has grown in number, but it's equally as true, and perhaps more important, that group has also grown in depth. Over the course of the 3 years between John and Acts, that group have experienced Jesus in a way that we would only dream about. They've seen Jesus walk on water. They've seen him speak to the woman at the well, or they heard him speak to the woman at the well. They've seen him heal people. They've seen him being arrested. They've seen him being crucified. And they've also seen him reappear. So each one of them has experienced that in a very, very personal way. Each of them has a relationship with Jesus on their own. It's their own relationship with Jesus. But together as a group, they have amazing power and amazing dynamic. So much power in that group that led them to the upper room on the night of Pentecost. And most of us know what happened thereafter. That small group that they had was a place of life and a place of growth. Tonight we're concentrating on small group and we're focusing in and we're emphasizing the goodness that can be received in a small group, just like theirs. And in a moment, I'm going to ask Kevin to come up and to share a testimony of his experience in his small group. So we'll do that in a moment. But just, I really want to say at this point of the evening that there's no rule that anybody has to be in a small group. But the emphasis is that we should all be in a small group. So there's a very, very clear distinction there that it's not a rule, but it's certainly an encouragement that we should be in a small group. So perhaps, Kevin, you can come up at this stage. This is Kevin Spicer, so come on, give him a big round of applause, everyone. So I have a couple of questions that I'm going to ask Kevin, and he has seen them, so it is staged. So the first question is, Kevin, what made you decide to join a small group? And then the second part of that question, what keeps bringing you back each week?
First one?
Well, it's 1A.
What helped me?
What made you decide to join a small group? What brings you back?
I have prepared these. it was really a natural progression for me from having done the Alpha course, actually. John talks about, in fact, you in your sermon there is talking about finding Jesus. That really was the beginning for me. And the Alpha course, a lot like the Life course that John is talking about, you know, those same questions are asked and a lot of them are answered. And once I found out what small group was about, it was very much a natural progression to go from the Alpha course, where, as a lot of people know, you know, you get to spend time with believers, you get to ask a lot of questions, you get a lot of your questions answered, you get to pray with one another, and small group really is a lot like that.
And what brings you back each week?
I think it's all the things that I suppose small group is about, and what you get from small group, and indeed what you can give. So there's giving and receiving. You make time for God, and God just returns it in spades. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And small group is really the perfect vehicle for that.
Brilliant. And I suppose you may have already answered it now, but to be more direct, can you consider or can you describe what might be missing then in your life if you weren't part of your small group?
Yeah, I thought about that one. That's an easy enough one to answer, because just as I sort of progressed from Alpha onto small group, I remember there was a time where I then drifted from small group. It was probably a very common situation for a lot of people here tonight, where other things get in the way, other things that really aren't of God, perhaps part of our the challenges that we face. And it's the classic, I feel I don't have time, or perhaps even those little doubts that, you know, I don't get from small group what I used to get from small group. And you know, for me now, looking back, it was the classic kind of temptation, no, you know, go away from that. And so I went through, I can't remember whether it was weeks or months, from not spending that time, not having that fellowship. And only then it's subtle. You know, the enemy is so subtle in his ways. And I can't remember again, maybe I came to church one evening and just kind of re-energized again and made the commitment to go back to home group, as it was. And that's how I realized how much I was missing, you know, by not having that refreshment, by not having that fellowship, by not having that prayer. And equally, thankfully, I haven't been missing home group since, but I know that that's what I would suffer.
Brilliant.
If I did. Yeah,
that's great. Really appreciate that. That's great. Big round of applause. So this is a Ryan Tuberty moment, and we're going to go into the crowd. I have a question for you, bring you back to your school days. Who can tell me, and if you can't, if you're here this morning, you can't speak of, and you can't speak John Fung anyway. Who can tell me the definition of photosynthesis? Come on, don't be shy. I actually would like if you got it wrong. Come on, hands up. Who can tell me the definition of photosynthesis? Can you give it a shot?
Yeah, sure.
Good man, Chris. Here you are now. All the way from Vancouver. Look at this.
It's the chemical reaction of turning light into compounds for cells in plants.
Does anyone want to put that into English? That's John, that's really better than your one this morning. I think that is a little bit better. I was a little bit more plain in my definition, and that probably sums up my level of intelligence. But basically for me, it's a process by which light is turned, but it's light, hang on a second now. It's the process by which a plant converts light into food, and that's the food the plant uses to grow. Everyone with me?
Yeah.
Lowest common denominator with me? So the plant takes in the light, turns it into food, and then uses that food to grow. Everyone with me? Great. I asked actually this morning someone to spell photosynthesis, and someone, I don't think they were joking, shouted out F, so I'm sure all you guys wouldn't have done that. But there are certain factors that need to be present for photosynthesis to take place, and they are light, warm temperature, carbon dioxide, and water. A plant depends on these factors in order to allow it go through the process of photosynthesis and therefore to grow. You and I are growing constantly. We're growing in our faith. 2 Corinthians, it tells us that we are continually being transformed. So this idea of being transformed is the same as growing. So we're continually being transformed, we're growing, we're maturing. So some factors need to apply in my life for me to be able to experience that growth in my faith. And keeping the analogy of the plant, I would imagine that some of those factors are as follows. Fixing our eyes on Jesus could be the light. Living by the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit in your daily life could be the temperature. Loving your neighbour could be the carbon dioxide, just because I suggested it. And the water, I really would think, could be Scripture, this idea of being refreshed and being renewed through Scripture. You'll see over here inside the greenhouse, we have in it a very, very lovely plant. You see it? All the way from my garden. Isn't that exciting? You can tell I'm very good at gardening. Even that doesn't get weeded. But my point is that this plant will grow, okay? Once the factors exist, as we've mentioned, the light, the temperature, the carbon dioxide, and the water, once they exist, this plant will grow, okay? Now, this plant will grow whether it's outside the greenhouse or whether it's inside the greenhouse. But the point is that its growth is enhanced inside the greenhouse. So the plant will grow once the factors exist. The plant will grow. It'll happily do its thing. But the very purpose of the greenhouse is twofold. One is to give the plant shelter, is to protect it from harsh environment. And the second thing is, through the purpose of the covering of the greenhouse, is to amplify the growth of the plant through its process of photosynthesis. The chances of that plant growing healthily are dramatically increased when it goes from outside the greenhouse to inside the greenhouse. So it will grow once the factors apply, but the chances of it healthily growing are dramatically increased once it goes inside the greenhouse. You know where I'm going with this. A small roof is very like a greenhouse. Big leap. Big leap. We as a church, we understand that a transformed community does not happen in isolation. It is when we come together and work through our differences, but hold on to the very common thing we have in Christ, that we grow and mature and come the people that God intended us to be. We also, as a church, understand that there's a need, as we get bigger, to also get smaller. This need has led small groups then to meet during the week. And in those meetings, those people are having a laugh, they're praying together, they're looking at the Bible together, they're there in support for one another in the good times and also in the bad. Each small group has its own distinct identity. But more importantly, each group is called to the same things, which is worship, love, and service. I'm going to ask John Fung to come up now and to share his testimony of small group. But I really just want to... But before I do, I just want to again emphasize that point of like there's no rule about small group and being part of this church, but it's something that we certainly encourage because it is a place of growth and it's a place of shelter. So John Fung, originally from Australia, came to us via America. Came to us via America? Harvard? He studied Stanford. Yeah, he didn't get into Harvard. And he studied, what was it, photosynthesis? So I have some questions for John. So John, you can hold that, as long as you don't speak too long. So John is not from these parts. The Aussie. So John, as somebody who's not from Dublin, how have you enjoyed and what have you got out of small group?
So when you first, for those of you who aren't, who isn't from Dublin here, actually, in matter of interest? Okay, there's about a third or a quarter or something. When you first tell people, so I was in America when I told people I was coming to Dublin, everyone goes, wow, it's going to be awesome, everyone's really friendly there. Ireland is actually consistently rated the most friendliest country on earth. And so you're kind of expecting to come here and, like, get hugged by everyone at the airport and become, like, grow red hair and, you know, become Irish very quickly. But actually, in fact, it didn't really work for me like that. You know, at work, I had a lot of trouble, I don't want to say making friends, but it's kind of hard to make good friends. You know, people who you'd, like, be yourself with and be vulnerable with. And even at church, when you come on Sunday, like, it's all cool and everyone's nice and it's all grand, but, you know, to actually forge, like, a meaningful relationships with people, it's not easy. Yeah. And I find that, you know, if I look back and I've been here about a year, of all the things I did in my first year, small group by far has been the thing that kind of really has helped me connect with people.
Brilliant. My second question was, how has being part of a small group helped you become more connected to the church?
Where's the auto cue? I'd like to thank my mom.
But listen, the same question that I asked Kevin then. Can you tell me then, can you work out what might be missing from your life if you weren't in a small group, in a practical way?
Yeah, I mean, if I think of what we were created for as human beings, even what gives us the most joy and the most energy, it's connecting with God and connecting with people. Mm. And if you do like an analysis of your week, which I have, and you break down the different activities and analyze them along that spectrum, it's quite scary how few things you genuinely connect with God or you genuinely connect with people with. I mean, most of our work, we work with people, don't really connect with them. Even listen to the stuff we do, it's not really that. And small group, I found, is one of the very few ways where I genuinely connect with people.
Brilliant.
On kind of not just a how's it going level, but kind of let's talk about stuff.
Cool, brilliant. And what's the definition of photosynthesis?
It's the conversion. Oh, whatever.
That's great. Give him a round of applause, everyone. Good man. So we're going to just spend some time now, like 5-10 minutes before we come back together for some worship and prayer, just looking around to see what the small groups that we have available. And I'm just encouraging those people who aren't in a small group, or people who are flirting with the idea, or people who, you know, who were in a small group and haven't been in one for years, just to look around to see what's on offer. And I'll just quickly run through them so that you know where you're generally going. And a good guide would be that if you're working or living in any of these areas, it may be a starting point to go along just once and just see what it's like. But obviously that's not the determining factor. You know, if you don't want it to be, it could be a relationship that you have with somebody, so therefore you'd prefer to travel further to a group. But so starting over this side, which is the best one, is Renla. So that's Renla. That meets on Wednesdays at around 7:30. The next one then is Fox Rock, which meets on Tuesdays about probably the same time, 7:30. Then down there we have one that's called D4, which is, it's, I know, it's awful, isn't it? So, no, that one's not, it's a brilliant group. But that's made up of people that actually don't necessarily live in D4, they travel from a huge range of the city, but just... I'll just bunk in there, all right. So that's that meets in Dublin 4. The next one then is, where do you meet? John's house, which is Grand Canal. That meets on a Wednesday. Yeah. Then we come up to Paul, which and Paul meets in Rathmines on a Wednesday night. Yeah, brilliant. Then we've got Hendrick, Emerald Circle meets on. And where is that held?
Sometimes Dublin 1, sometimes Dublin 8.
Ooh. And do you tell the people beforehand? And the next one we have down here is Clanbrassil Street, just up the road, and that meets again Wednesday?
Yeah, yes.
Wednesday at about 7:30. Then we have one that meets in the church, actually, called St. Catherine's, and that's on a Wednesday again, 7:30. Then we've got the next one, Step Up, which meets on a Monday, and that's geared towards internationals, people who aren't from the city or country. And that's Monday night, isn't it? 7:30. Then we have one here on East Wall, and that meets on Thursdays at 8:00. Yeah. And then we've got another one coming up here, which will be applicable to most people in this room, and that's Mums and Tots. And that's Tuesday morning at 10:30.
At 10.
So you can all rush that way for that one. So, but as of this morning, which is very encouraging, it looks like we've 3 new small groups meeting because we did the same talk this morning, which is very exciting. One in Castle Knock, one in Lucan, and one in Clontarf. So I'm very encouraged by that and very excited. So if these aren't... I was going to have a phrase in my head, I wasn't going to say. If these aren't doing it for you, then Clontarf, Castle Knock, or Lucan might do it. But so let's all get up and let's just wander around. Let's just meet each other. Let's consider the idea. If you're not at that